Okay. It's funny, when I made the change from moving from being present to moving into the field, it never occurred to me that I'd quit my job until my final day in the office when they brought a cake out and the HR manager took my company credit card off me and my office key. And I thought, wait a second, I've just quit my job. But this has been just a fantastic experience, jumping into the field and building the business side by side with you. Ben Zander once said that it's the duty of a great leader to see the potential in others that they don't yet see in themselves. Isn't that true? And I want to share a funny story. I guess it shows the seeds of great potential, I guess. Have you ever been to a school sports day to support your kids when they've got the running races and those types of things? Neat experiences, aren't they? Proud moments for parents. Kim and I had a unique experience a number of years ago where they had a sports day for the kindergarten kids, which were like 2 and 3 year olds. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever seen 2 and 3 year olds get the running race, but that's really quite an interesting experience. What made it extra special was it was also fancy dress, and they had to come as flower pot men and all sorts of little things and made them just look the cutest little things on the planet. So they're all dressed up like these little flower pot men and these little creatures, and they're all lined up in a row, ready to take off on their running race. To help them stay on track, they had little sweets, candies, being held by some of the teachers at the end of the race, saying, "This is where you want to run. Come over here." And so when they said, "Ready, set, go," off goes the bang. It startled some of them, and they kind of froze versus ran. But off they ran, and they took off running. And it was fascinating to watch, because you got the parents on the sidelines cheering the kids on, right? And what happened was, the first little boy that was out in front was winning by a long shot, and he's very confidently running, and he runs and he gets to the finish line, but he doesn't know why he's running, so he just kept on running. And then all the other kids just followed him. Right? They said, "Wherever he's going, we're going too," and they took off. And the second race, again, another race, they've got these new competitions going on, and one mother was overly enthusiastic for her child to win the race. And so she's standing on the side, and up comes her little girl, and she's getting within close proximity to her mum. And mum's like, "You get there, come on, come on!" Really starts screaming, and the little girl just bursts into tears. So she freezes, and then she stops, and then all the other kids go, "Oh, have we finished?" And it was the most remarkable competition I've ever seen in my life. They looked cute, they were beautiful, it was just melted your heart to watch them run, but they did not know what they were running for. Now, within them though, lies, of course, seeds of incredible greatness. Even though they looked like these little kids, these little flower pot men, not knowing where they're running, what they're trying to do, within them were the seeds of greatness. Now, I want to share an interesting metaphor. It's been used before, but it's often been used incorrectly. This metaphor of the butterfly. The caterpillar goes into the cocoon and emerges as a butterfly coming out the other side. And we often use this metaphor from nature of showing the potential that lies within us, don't we? About how we can maybe start out in one state and through some miracle we can transform and become something far beyond what we were to begin with. Yeah? And we've used that metaphor, I think, for many years, talking about change. But we've used it incorrectly. Do you know what happens to the caterpillar when he goes into the cocoon? Does anyone know? He doesn't change. He dies. Did you know that? In fact, in order for the caterpillar to become the butterfly, he must first become nothing. That's quite profound, though, isn't it? He must first become nothing. what happens is the caterpillar dissolves within that cocoon. Now, how does that go from a dissolved little soup of caterpillar DNA into a majestic butterfly? Before it's even the caterpillar, when it's just a little larva, it's got these little cells within it that lie dormant. They're called imaginal cells. And these imaginal cells are the cells that get activated when it goes into the cocoon that give birth to a new creature, the butterfly. Isn't that powerful? I believe that within each of us, there are cells that are yet to be activated. Now, what's interesting is not only are they activated, they are multiplied. The little fruit fly, which is by far a beautiful butterfly, starts out with 50 of these imaginal cells. And when it goes through that metamorphosis to become the fruit fly, it ends up with 50,000. It multiplies by a factor of 1,000. So can you imagine what the potential is within us to become something far greater than we currently realize if we could just connect with and activate those cells of great potential that lie within us? How do we do that? By accepting and embracing that first principle that the caterpillar had to do. That in order to become the beautiful butterfly, I first have to be willing to become nothing. Now, what does that mean, to be willing to become nothing first? It means that we've got to be willing to let go of our own agenda, our own ego, our own perhaps misshapen, misconstructed sense of identity, so that we can become something new and move forward. There was a wonderful example that was given, it was in the Reader's Digest back in the 50s, but a beautiful story, and it's a true story, by the way, of a convict that had been released from jail and he was on his way home. And as fate would have it, he was sat opposite a prison warden who was chatting to a friend of his. And he observed that as the journey continued, that this passenger that was sat next to him, who was this recently released prisoner, was getting more and more uncomfortable as the journey went on. And so he asked him, he said, what's the matter? You're looking uncomfortable. You're looking concerned. And so he told him, he said, I've made some terrible mistakes and I've really let my family down. He says, and I don't know if they're going to let me back and welcome me home. He said, so before I left prison, he said, I sent them a letter. He said, they never wrote, well, I was in jail. He said, they never wrote me. He said, they never visited. He says, I don't know if they didn't write because some of them didn't know how to write, right? He says, there could have been a reason there, I don't know. I don't know what the reason was, but they didn't come and see me. I'm outcast. And he said, so I wrote a letter to my family. He said, and in that letter I said, if you're willing to forgive me for what I've done and welcome me back home, please would you put a white ribbon on the apple tree that is near the fence along the side of where the train passes. And if I see that white ribbon, I'll know that I can get off and come home. And if I don't see the white ribbon, I'll just keep going. That's heartbreaking, that, isn't it? Heartbreaking. He said, he reached a point where he said, I just can't look anymore. And he turned away and he said to the prison warden, will you please look for me? And when we get there, if you see it, can you let me know? And as they approached and the apple tree came into view, the prison warden said, my dear friend, he said, someone surely does love you. He says, because there is a white ribbon on every branch of that tree. Now, why do I share that? The power of forgiveness, of being able to let go of the past, is essential for us and able to enable us and to empower us to move forward into the future. Yeah? Be it for ourselves or be it for other people. So, when you're looking to build your business in 2018, maybe there is some forgiveness, some letting go that you need to do in order to empower you to move forward as a new creature, to do a better job. Yeah? Because sometimes the things that hold us back the most is our perception of ourselves. I've traveled to close to 30 countries. Most of that time, in Nikan, in fact, I think in Nikan alone, I've traveled to close to 30 countries on business assignments or as a distributor. And in each of those environments, in each of those meetings, on many occasions, I've asked people, what is the greatest barrier to your success? And in every instance, I've always had the same answer, myself. It's me. So, do we see ourselves as that little caterpillar, or maybe even that little larva that precedes the caterpillar? Or do we see ourselves as someone that has the seeds of greatness within us? That if we can let go of the past, and let go of maybe some of that identity that we cling to, that is incorrect, or maybe just needs to be let go of and forgiven, that we can then move forward as a new creature and become something majestic, something powerful, something that can really go on to leave a legacy, to make a difference, and to truly change the world. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that when we talk in Nikan of humans being more, this is what it's all about, isn't it? It's about us becoming our best selves. The challenge is, for most of us, we don't know what that looks like. And sometimes we think we do, but we still don't. So if we could just have the chance, as Dave said, to keep rubbing shoulders with great people that see within us the greatness that is really there, that encourages us, that motivates us, inspires us, that doesn't give up on us. And if we can hang around with those types of people, which we find in Nikan, and if we can search them out and rub shoulders with them and help them to do the same, then we can truly help people become more in a way that was never, ever considered. It's not just about becoming a little better. When we talk about changing the world and helping people to become more, we're not talking about being a little better. We're not talking about having a little difference that does a little good. We're talking about doing this with such abundance, such power, such potency, that we change lives that affect generations. That's the potential that we have. And it's ours to take. I mentioned last night, let's not live below our privileges. Let's do all we can to let go of whatever needs to be let go of, so that we can truly do all that is within our grasp to do great things in 2018. You with me?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Schedule.